He's in downtown Fairhope thanks to some cloud coverage. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell for Community Contact. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Fairhope.
Let me fix it up here real quick so that we can hear you a little bit better on the radio. You're via phone this morning instead of in studio, but that's quite all right. You're here because we have a Fairhope City Council meeting tonight, a regular meeting at 6 p.m. Good morning. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I know you're driving, don't want to distract you, so pull over
okay.
If you need to, but let's just start with a good morning and a welcome. I missed you last time. Mark filled in for me. Let's start with something not on the agenda, and that is y'all have an open comment period for the ADA compliance for the Pier Park and the waterfront improvements. That's still going on till what, August 30th?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
So you're just, it's a little survey. I was surprised to see it's not an interactive computer survey. It's a piece of paper you actually write notes on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of concerns over an ADA ramp that would go down from the bluff just south of the pier down to the South Beach area. And we hired an ADA compliance expert to help us with that, to determine whether or not we actually needed to include that. And, you know, his conclusion was is that we need to include some ADA compliance, and that also we may need to go back to some older intersections and make them more compliant as well. So we want to do what we have to do to stay within the law, but do what we can to also comply with the citizens' wishes. And in this case, it seems like the two are flashing a little bit, should I say, Lori? And so, you know, we have to stay on the side of the law. So we may not be able to do exactly what the people want, which is they want nothing put there. I think we're going to have to put something, but we're trying to come up with an idea that's as minimally invasive to that area as possible.
And you're talking about what would be a ramp down the bluff to the Pier Park.
Well, and it could be a ramp. It could be, it could be an elevator. I don't think it's going to be an elevator. It could be a little trolley. It could be multiple things.
I see. Okay.
But it's got to be something, Lori. And I think that's why we're seeking public comment.
And
help us understand what people can live with.
And I'm glad you mentioned it's not just the waterfront, as I had said, but anywhere around town.
Most of this is more in conjunction with what's going on with the federally funded project down near the pier, such as the pedestrian walkway that goes from Noel Park and crosses Fairhope Avenue there at the top of the hill. There's a good bit of a grade there, and there's a little bit of a side hill grade, and that needs to be looked at. We're probably going to have to work on that a little bit. That's not a real big deal there, but there's some utilities underground and things like that. So it's a little bit more than I'll just call it a ramp, although it may not be a ramp. It's a little bit more in that area than just one location.
Right. Okay. And folks can find it on the website. I was trying to pull it up now to tell people. Visit Fairhope.
Lori, I apologize. I should be able to point people directly to that location on the website. But I guess sometimes when you know what's going on, you don't ever go to the website to find out. And I'm guilty of that.
Exactly. And we do it on the air to help people and show them how easy it is. And now I can't find it either, but we'll look for it. Thank you, Jack. And on to, I see, I was gone for what could have been a controversial incentive, paying employees to get the vaccine. That passed, and now you're going to extend it to firefighters and library employees. Is that correct?
Yes, we're going to vote to extend it. The firefighters are part-time employees, and we checked with the attorneys, and they do qualify as part-time employees. So In accordance with the last resolution that we passed, the firefighters can get $250 if they're vaccinated. And then the library employees, which the library is, you know, subsidized by the city, owned by the city, they also qualify. And so they have both full-time and part-time employees, so they would get the same incentive. And, you know, and all of these people, especially, you know, the firefighters, their first responders, you know, they don't have a choice. If there's a fire, they're put in harm's way. So just like police, I think that they're very deserving of that. If other first responders are, the firefighters should be. The library, you know, they have to go open up the library, and people come and go freely to the library. So I think that I think they're very deserving of that. So we want to protect these people that are put in harm's way as the nature of their business, and then they should be incentivized if they get a vaccine as well.
That's resolution number 14, which obviously will likely be approved tonight. And what kind of feedback have you gotten about the vaccine bonus incentive from the last meeting and that vote? What kind of feedback have y'all received?
In the last meeting, we did have several people that spoke against it. But, you know, people that favor things such as this typically don't speak out loud. We've had a lot of people that have given us kudos for passing that. I mean, I think that other cities have seen what we done, what we did, and they are adopting similar measures. So I think in that respect, Fairhope has been a leader. Remember, this is not a mandate. It's also not our locally collected tax dollars. I guess you would be correct in saying it is our tax money because it's federal tax dollars, but we were given this money by the federal government, and if we were to say no to it, they would turn around and just give it to another city. They're not going to save it. None of us were in favor of this federal spending, this giveaway, if you will, but it's going to be given away, and so if we can give it away as an incentive, to get our employees vaccinated, and once again, we're not making them. And the supervisors, we talked to them and said, is this going to cause a division among vaccinated and unvaccinated employees? And the answer was no. I don't know. That was one concern, but it hasn't caused any problems. Then, you know, the vaccinated are not pointing fingers at the unvaccinated or vice versa.
Well, that's amazing because it's happening on social media and all across the world, but not with employees. That's good. I don't see.
Well, I don't think. I think that the employees respect each other's individual personal freedom of choice, and that's what we did. We gave them a choice.
Right, and that's what it should be. Yes.
You're not being penalized if you don't get a vaccine. There's no penalty for not getting one.
Exactly. Yes, and very, very good, Jack. Very good. Thank you. On to ordinance number 9, establishing a non-emergency disconnect fee for the electric department.
Yeah, so we have people that will, you know, use power seasonally. They may use gas seasonally, and they'll call out the crews who cut off their power. And, you know, we have to send people out to take care of that, and it costs the city money to send a crew out to do that. So we're going to have a nominal fee. It's routinely accepted throughout the industry. Fairhope's just a little behind on that. We've been doing that as a public service for a long, long time. And, you know, as we are growing so fast and our crews are so busy, we just simply don't have the time to send crews out to turn power off and then turn it back on. There's a certain cost, and so we're just going to pass that on to the consumer.
And we have a lot of seasonal residents, or snowbirds, as they're called. So, yeah, that makes sense. You've got a service call. Why not charge for it?
And, you know, we have that with a gas. We have that with gas as well. And gas is just so easy to turn that on and off that you know, if they want to hire a technician to do that, they can hire an independent technician. But most people can do it themselves. And power, I guess you could cut off the main breaker to your home if you want. But it's just like I said, it's just a service that's been provided for free that most every electric company or corporation throughout the country already charges.
Right. Number 8 and 9 on tonight's Fairhope City Council agenda are ordinances for annexation.
Those are some, I believe those are some streets, Lori, not looking at them. Are those the streets within the city?
I'm going to tell you now. Nelson Drive from Scenic Highway 98 East, County Road 98, Scenic Route, a.k.a. Main Street from Highway 104, and approximately 1,200 feet from Baldwin County. What is that? I thought annexation was by request. I'm confused.
All of those streets are fully encompassed on both sides by City of Fairhope property, and this is just a formality to where they're turning over the streets for city maintenance, and it's just routinely done. We have to do it via ordinance.
What was it? County? It's county property, you mean?
It's city property on both sides, but the road has been county. They're going to just turn the roads over to the city, and the city should be maintaining those now because, like I said, Nelson Road is just south, on the south end of town. If you get past Nelson Road, you get into county, but down to Nelson Road and running west on Nelson Road are several hundred feet. That is City of Fairhope property on both sides. So
I see. Okay.
So that's my answer. And then also that other stretch of road is about the Flower Clock, north on Scenic to the Fly Creek Bridge. You've got Fairhope residents on the west side of the road, and then on the east side you have the Triangle property, which is, of course, owned by the City of Fairhope. So once again, those are fully enveloped by City of Fairhope.
Okay, okay. Ordinance number...
I should say, within the municipal limits, anyway.
Got it. Almost a formality, if you will, just to put it in place. Yeah. Ordinance number 10, amendment of the ordinance, creation of a parking authority or parking committee and its membership qualifications and terms.
Yeah. So what that is cleaning up. At the last council meeting, we made an appointment to the parking authority, and we started looking into our rules about who can be on the parking authority, and we found out that several of the members did not fit the definition of who can be on the parking authority. And it's just been kind of understood that if you own a business downtown and you're affected by parking, you could be a member of that. But our rules didn't allow that. So we're going to go back in, and it is in hindsight, admittedly, but to make, we've always been about doing the right thing and making sure that we're following our own laws, and in this case, laws is an extreme term, maybe following our own guidelines or, in this case, it would be the ordinance that forms these committees. It's not a high crime if somebody was on that committee and somebody didn't pay attention to the rules, but we're going to make sure that it's right, we're following them, and so we're going to have to go in there and relax those rules a little bit to include business owners, people that own businesses in the CBD, or if you are employed by, say, Coastal Alabama or South Alabama, who has a presence downtown, and they have a big impact on the parking downtown, so we value their input. They need to be kept abreast of what's going on as well. So we're just making a couple of allowances that they've always been allowed, but somewhere along the way, nobody looked at the regulations to make sure that it was allowed. So we're going to make it formally allowed now.
So, is what you're saying is this will allow non-residents of Fairhope to be on the committee if they own or work at a business?
Like, for instance, I don't want to call names out, but there's a couple of very prominent business owners that are on that parking authority, and they're not residents of the city. They live outside the city.
Yeah.
But they clearly have a stake, and we understand that. And remember, the mayor's not going to nominate somebody that she doesn't think, has a stake in it. So we also have that going for us. But to exclude, people that really know the parking situation and have knowledge of what's going on downtown, we felt it okay to open it up to those people, even though they may be non-resident.
All right, let's move on before we run out of time. Number 11, authorizing Mayor Sherry Sullivan to execute an agreement of sale between the City of Fairhope and Walmart for the acquisition of 12 acres, more or less, with all improvements, easements, right, pertinent thereto, What is that?
Right. So that's been something that's been going on for well over a year, even going back to Mayor Wilson's administration, where Walmart offered to sell us this land. Basically, they're deeding us this property. They have 12 acres that run along the west side, the east side and the south side of the Walmart there on Fairhope Avenue and 181. And so we had to get the lawyers involved, and that just our legal team responds pretty quick. But Walmart's a big corporation, and you know, we demand a certain legal jargon.
Yeah, why is this happening? I don't understand why it's happening.
Well, why not? We'll take the 12 acres out there. In fact, they gave us the land to, remember to build the police precinct out there?
Oh, yeah, yes, I do.
Yeah, so that's kind of the premise, is we will use that property to build a new police precinct. And, you know, I think that'll probably remind you about what all that is.
Yes, I recall now.
There were some time constraints on that, and we couldn't just throw up a police precinct overnight and build a building and staff it. So we had to go back to them and say, look, we need more time. You know, we need to take a few years to get the funding in place to build the building and the facility for that. And so that's kind of what took all that a while to mature.
I see. Okay, so now that the legislation was put in place concerning our extraterritorial jurisdiction, will there still be a police precinct outside of the city limits, or will that property now be considered city limits?
Well, Lori, you were breaking up just a little bit.
All right, let me ask that again then. Because the legislation that Senator...
I heard you, but okay. you went silent after I heard the question. You're there?
Yes, I'm here. I was just wondering why a police precinct would be built outside of city limits due to the reduction of the jurisdiction that's happening with the legislation that Senator Chris Elliott introduced.
Well, it's not being built outside. The land there definitely is in the city limits. And we also have city limits well to the east of there.
Okay.
River Mill and River Station and
right.
Other developments that are already in the process.
Okay, good. Okay.
So that is, you know, and then you've got that corner, which is a hotbed of activity. A lot of development going on all corners there, the northeast and the northwest corners, which have not been fully developed, which are in the process of being fully developed. So
that's the public's corner. Is that the public's?
And you still have large subdivisions there. You have Firethorn. You still have Quail Creek. You still have lots and lots of needs out there. So,
okay. Okay. Good. And those are city limits now.
Yeah, the city limits.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for clarifying that. We're just now getting to page 2 of the agenda. There's 3 full pages, but we might not make it all. Here on WABF, speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell, I see a resolution concerning working on the stadium. Will this work be complete before, I guess, what is the first home game this weekend? Or what are we going to do about that?
I don't think it's going to be completed. I know they're working at a feverish pace. I'd like to tell you that it's going to be. The contractor's working hard. They did have, in their defense, they did have 90 days to finish, and I believe the first game's coming along at about the 45-day mark. So, in their defense, their time's not up. It just, you know, once we got the thing released and got the bids tallied, and the work got underway, just kind of pushes into the football season. So, Lori, I'd love to tell you it's going to be complete.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, and that's happening with lots of projects.
Add some brick facade to that new structure, though.
Right. And the rain is causing problems with lots of projects, we understand. But I do see, I was driving out Morphy yesterday, and work has begun on that property for the new electrical substation on Morphy Avenue, just west of Bishop Road.
Right.
And you were a proponent of that land, and that's happening. What else? Let me see.
There's the electrical substation work, which doesn't get all the press of, say, the water and sewer, but, you know, it's still a $12 million project. And that's moving along nicely. If you look at the large substation being built there at Nichols, a corner of Nichols and Young, just across the street from the existing
right.
substation, that's moving along really well. All of this will come together probably in the next year, and we'll be wrapping up all of this, and we'll have lots of new capacity. And, you know, lots of, we're pretty reliable now, but we'll be much more reliable should we run into bad weather or, you know, more demand or, you know, get out and have high heat, things like that. We don't have to worry about overloads.
I also see where the new scoreboard, the big electronic scoreboard at the football field is being installed, or preparation is beginning. How much was that again? Was it $200,000? I can't recall.
I don't have that number.
125 maybe.
I know the schools were pitching in, the booster clubs paying for a large part of that. I'm not sure if single tax is putting in on that, but we're going to be paid back by the school over several years, and I think the city is pitching in a small amount. Lori, it's somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000.
Right. I thought it was a lot. And now we've got two resolutions, $16,500 to install certain components of the scoreboard, and another $22,257 for drilling and steel beams and bracing of the scoreboard.
Let me explain that. So that's not additional. That money is basically being withheld from the current contract and will be given to the new contract.
And why does it need a vote? Why does it need a vote if it's not new money being spent?
Because it's a new contract. The existing contractor cannot perform the work, so we have to hire a new contractor to perform that work. And the reason the existing contractor cannot perform the work has something to do with their state licensing.
I see. Oh, and here it says at the bottom of the sentence, I should have read the entire resolution. Pardon me. Said amount shall be deducted from the contract. Very good. You know how I get when y'all spend more money than I make in a year at the drop of a hat. Sometimes it irritates me. I have to double check y'all. You know that.
That's right.
All right. Let's see. The rest of it looks like requesting permission for fundraisers and events. So I think we're done with the agenda. Now, what would you like to mention that's not on the agenda before we run out of time here? About 3 or 4 minutes left. Oh, I know. A walk-in medical clinic for employees. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, I think it's awesome as well. So we're going to be building a clinic over at the Pecan Avenue building, which is directly across the street from Pecan Avenue from our warehouse. So most of our employees are housed there, or either that's their base of operation. You can't really say housed for a lot of people that are in the field all day long, but, you know, if they're going back to wherever they go back, a central location, it would be right there. And now they can go directly across the street to get medical care, and their families can go get medical care.
So you've got to hire, you've got to put on the agenda nurse positions, doctor positions. How is that going to work?
Well, we contract with Simba. They're responsible for hiring the medical.
Okay, good. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so we just go through Simba. They are going to equip the facility, and they are going to provide the healthcare professionals. Employees are going to be able to go in there, and, you know, they'll be able to get generic medicines for free. No co-pays, no out-of-pocket cost to them. And the idea is that, you know, they will be healthier healthier employees are more productive, they're happier, it's a good recruitment tool, and it prevents long-term medical costs. Because let's say you're a diabetic and you need to be compliant with your medication. Well, if you can just simply go to the doctor and get your medications readily, without taking much time off of work, without costing yourself time off from work, because a lot of people don't want to use their sick time to go to the doctor.
Right, right.
But if it's right across the street, you can do it on your lunch break, right?
Exactly.
Or right after work, because it's right there, or right before work. And they'll figure out what times are best without a wait. You know, they're not going to have so many patients that you're going to have a long wait like
right,
you have
right.
at other.
That's a lovely benefit. Very good. One last thing. I saw Fairhope Times on August 16th had a picture of sunken boats being pulled out of our marina. And while I was on vacation, I saw a story that Rick Gambino had to pay for that because he leases the restaurant. Is that correct? What's the latest on that?
Well, he is responsible for that because he not only leases the restaurant, but he leases the marina there.
Right.
As part of that.
That's part of it, right.
He's the leaseholder for that. And there's been a common misconception that the city's responsible for that. And we are not. We're trying to work with the leaseholder on that as best we can. But ultimately, that has not been under our control. I know that the mayor has been leaning on them very hard to get those boats out of there. And, you know, some of that's between the leaseholder of the marina and the boat owner, not the city and the boat owner.
Okay, very good. All right, Jack, what else would you like to mention now, not on the agenda, that I have not thought to ask?
You know, I'm trying to run through my mind. We covered so much. You know, there's so much going on with the utilities. We covered a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the utility work is still going on North Church there behind the Civic yeah. Center, which seems like it's been for an eternity. And
it is.
What's going on? And then next, it's going to be right here in front of us, right?
Right.
And not looking forward to that.
Well, it's going to be disruption to the city for quite some time. And
but the reward is worth it.
Pains, and unfortunately, it's going to be an inconvenience for many, many, many more months, Lori, throughout town.
But the reward is worth it.
Yeah. We passed ordinances allowing two broadband providers to come in and use the right-of-ways. We passed those fairly recently, and I know that Point Broadband and C Spire are both still planning and coming for those that complain about internet service
right.
To the city. And, you know, we're not an internet provider, but we are allowing them to come in and set up fiber optic cable in our right-of-way. So hopefully in the coming months, maybe even by the end of the year, a lot of that problem will start being solved.
That's good. Yeah, C Spire and what, Point Broadband was the other, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, Jack, thank you for talking, especially while you're driving. Please be careful. And tonight, Fairhope City Council meets at 6 p.m. If you can't go, you can watch it on the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel. Thank you very much, Jack.
Hey, thank you for making an effort to talk with me this morning while I was driving, and back into Fairhope.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell. Very good. As soon as we hang up, we always think of something. Oh, I should have asked this. And, you know, feel free to send me questions that you would like addressed. I interview City Council the second and fourth Monday of every month. And then the mayor, or a council member if she can't come, the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. So you are more than welcome to submit questions that you would like asked. 8:52 now, 79 degrees, WABF, good morning.
Through the years, there are so many family memories to share. And when we lose a loved one, those memories come.